Hello, listener. Hello, world. Merry Christmas. NFL Week 15. Officially squeaky bum time. A savage day in Houston. Tom comes in as Osweiler brocks his pants again, leading the Texans to the narrowest of wins and leading to poor old Gus Bradley's Christmas firing. Freezing temperatures across the league. The Packers were on the rocks against the Polar Bears, but iced the game late. Down in Cincinnati, the Steelers' playoffs were momentarily frozen, but Big Ben's ice pop arm thawed in the nick of time. And in Denver, two vanilla offenses could only muster 19-20 points, but it was Ice Brady who sealed the win. In present giving season news, Cleveland continued to be the Santa Claus of the league, this time handing Rex Ryan what may be his last win as Buffalo's coach. Ho, ho, holy crap, is Cleveland ever going to win? San Francisco, too, were off doing charitable works. Well, we think they were. They certainly didn't show up in Atlanta, as the Falcons stuffed them and carved them up after roasting them for 60 minutes. What a bunch of turkeys. So, which team is our Christmas cracker? And which teams make up our bah humbug section? Find out all of that and more on this episode of the Next Fan Up Power Rankings. And hey, Justin's back! Decked out in his luminous green Seattle's onesie, ready to go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, Justin. How are you doing?
I'm good, Neil. Back from vacation, rested. As far as I know, the only game the Seahawks have played in the last 2 weeks has been them beating the Rams. So I'm feeling fired up.
Yep. Seattle are, congratulations, Justin. Am I right in thinking you're now division winners?
Yep, the official 2016 NFC champ, so that feels really good. Also, in a story that has absolutely nothing to do with the Seahawks, just so the listeners know, and I told you this earlier, just started a new job recently, went to a company Christmas function, won a television. So that's weird. I got a TV in my living room that I don't know what to do with. Everything's coming up, Justin, this week.
That's great news. Well done. I hope your luck continues, and get out there, buy some lottery tickets, do whatever you need to do, man.
Yeah, that would make for a Merry Christmas for sure.
Absolutely. But hey, a television. You can't complain with that.
No, not at all. Now I can watch twice as many football games at once.
Yeah, you can have one. You can have one screen with just Seattle, and one screen with just a camera on Pete Carroll. That would surely be good news in the Justin household.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's only so many times you can see somebody chew one piece of bubble gum before you go mad.
I said, what's a 70-year-old man doing eating bubble gum?
What's a 70-year-old man doing? A lot of things Pete Carroll does.
That's true. Very true. Right, Justin, we'll better get on with this. Our Christmas week. We were having a debate here in my house last night whether this was Christmas week leading up to Christmas or whether Christmas week started with Christmas and then you had the Christmas week after that. But anyway, we're going with this being our Christmas week. we have our rankings to do, of course, and then we will get to our extra point this week. And we've got a Christmas-themed extra point this week, which I'm really looking forward to. In fact, I quite happily skip these bloody power rankings and do the extra point. But we better do that. Right, at number 32, it's not a happy Christmas in Cleveland because they are still number 32. San Francisco, number 31. Where are Cleveland going to get a win? And is Chip Kelly gone?
And I don't believe that Cleveland's going to get a win. I think they're going to go over 16. It's already been more than a year since their last win. And no, I don't believe Chip Kelly is gone either. I think that they give him more than a single year to be one and done. I think that they're going to give him a chance to sort of implement what he wants. Perhaps they'll fire him after next year.
Well, I think if you asked if our Philadelphia Eagle fan, super fan James, he'd say that Chip has just done exactly what he wants and got his team to that marvelous 1-13 record, is it, at the moment?
Yeah, I think if you asked James, our Eagles fan, he would not let Chip Kelly feed him lunch at a McDonald's.
Absolutely not. Number 30, we've got the Los Angeles Rams. What do they need now, Justin, apart from a head coach? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, a quarterback, a wide receiver, offensive line would be nice. Tight end would not be a bad idea. Maybe another running back, since Todd Gurley's kind of regressed. They could also do well with some corners and safeties and some linebackers.
Okay, but you're happy with the defensive line. That's a good, solid start.
Yep. I would say, so, you know, out of that 53-man roster, there's at least three or four good players on there. You may need to change the rest, but I guess that's a start.
It's just been a completely lost season, hasn't it, for the Rams this season?
Oh, they're definitively worse than they were last year. Definitively worse.
Yeah. And they've also got, how many games has he started now? Is that two starts for Goff? And he'll get, I presume he'll get the next games to play as well.
Yeah, assuming he doesn't get hurt. I mean, I'm not going to write him off just yet. He was the number one overall pick. But I haven't seen anything that indicates he's a top player. But, I mean, hey, at least they have a really high draft pick next year to look forward to, don't they, Neil?
No, they don't.
Oh, bad news, Rams.
It's just, it's horrible, horrible, horrible. And there's been no movement at all, has there, on the coaching front, as far as I've heard over here?
Yeah, we probably won't hear anything much until after the season. But, I mean, you know, how's the old saying go? It's always darkest before even further darkness.
That's certainly how it goes in with the Rams, and St. Louis have got rid of it, and now Los Angeles is going to get that. Ah, what a shame. And also, I mean, my thoughts and prayers are with Jeff Fisher in this difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure if you caught the end of the recap show from yesterday, but I posited that we are in need of a Titan super fan. I hear Jeff Fisher is available, and he knows that team pretty well. Maybe he should drop us a line.
Absolutely, Jeff. I know you listen to this podcast, so give us a shout. We are waiting here for you. This quarter, this show is at least four quarters long.
Yeah, I suppose we could always ask him when he's live in studio to record his outro like he does after every show.
I'm sure he'd do it. I'm sure he's a good sport, Jeff. And a fabulous mustache as well. Number 28, we've got the New York Jets, and they are also... no change from last week, and it's total rebuild time in New York. They don't even have a quarterback.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this is one of the situations where you can see just from the play on the field of the players that they've packed it in. Like, everybody's just trying to not embarrass themselves, like, personally and not get hurt. But they're not even remotely trying to win any games. Every player is just thinking about where they're going to end up next year. This is a complete, total teardown.
You look at this season, and I go back to an opportunity they had in the offseason where Muhammad Wilkerson, one of their so-called star defensive linemen, they had a chance to trade him, didn't they, for at least one, if not two, first-round picks. I would have let him go. I said at the time, let him go, take the picks.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I mean, going into the season, you know, they sort of came to a fork in the road, and they could try and build off of last year, which was a pretty good season. Bring back Fitzpatrick, keep Muhammad Wilkerson and try and move forward. Or they could get a head start on trying to really build something new out of it. They chose wrong. That's really what it came down to. It was a binary choice, A and B. They went with A, and it turns out B was the correct answer.
Yeah. I'm not sure will Todd Bowles get another season. I hope so.
I don't know. I mean, I'm really ready for a complete teardown, complete rebuild with them.
Yeah. No, that could be right. Poor old Jets fans haven't had success since what 1942 or something was the last time they had success.
Yeah. Since Joe Namath was donning his fur coats and trying to make passes at sideline reporters during games.
Yeah. Ah, for the days of fur coats. Brilliant. Number 27, the Chicago Bears. No change for Chicago, but unlike all the teams we've spoken about up to this point, Justin, I actually see some hope in Chicago. I see some quality young players. They played the Packers really tough this week, and yeah, okay, maybe no quarterback, but yeah, not too bad. What you see in Chicago? You see a team still fighting for the coach.
Yeah, they're a team that I think has hope, actually. I still don't think that Barkley is necessarily your starting quarterback next year, but I think that if you start the season with him competing for it, that's fine. I think that's okay. And I think that he's definitely at least a backup quarterback in the league. And that's a good thing. Jordan Howard, the rookie running back, has been very impressive. I'm very happy with him. I think, you know, we'll talk more about kind of the offseason plan for them, but I think that you kind of let these veterans go and you start building around some very, very good rookies you have on this team.
Yeah, no, it looks very impressive there in terms of moving forward. I think that you could see them doing a similar thing to we saw the Raiders do a couple of years ago, and that is maybe take the best player available in the draft early on. They're going to have a very high pick, of course. And then the second round, try and take a quarterback. Now, okay, all the quarterbacks this year, you don't really see a real first-round talent there so far, but if there's somebody there at the top of the second round, or end of the first round, top of the second round, I could see Chicago going that direction and bringing in somebody to sit for a year or so and let Barkley start. I think Barkley could probably take you through another season. And then while your young quarterback's developing, but still get that elite player at the top of the draft.
I completely agree. If you know, his role is to be kind of the steward, the caretaker of this team, that's okay, because I like some of the pieces. I think their defense every week is a little bit better than the week before. We were so down on it at the start of the year. I think it's got the potential with who they have to actually be pretty good. I see them almost being like, they could almost be the next Texans. You know, that team that's got a good defense. It's got a couple of nice skill position players.
Hold on, Justin. So what I'm getting there is you hate Chicago. The new Texans. Wow.
Well, I mean, the Texans are higher in the power ranks, and the Bears are trying to move up. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. It just sounded like, yeah, you're the new Texans. Take that. Oh, anyway, good luck, Chicago. Number 26, the Arizona Cardinals. And, oh, we heard so much about this number one defense, and, oh, it was great defense, and Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones and all these guys. And New Orleans absolutely mullered them.
Yeah. So here's another team where, I don't see a bright future ahead for them. In general, with a couple of exceptions, all their best players are quite old. And some of their best players are now bad players. You know, last year we were talking about, you know, we can't figure out who the best wide receiver is on this team between Floyd and Brown and, of course, Larry Fitzgerald. Now Floyd is gone. Brown's been bad. Larry is still good, but we don't even know if he's going to be playing football next year. I mean, he's at that point in his career where, you know, he could just ride off into the sunset and get ready for his bus to be captured in the Hall of Fame. And then Carson Palmer is toast. He is bread that has been in that toaster for an hour too long. That's how toast he is.
Yeah, it's and he's coming back. He said he's coming back next season, so something to look forward to there for Arizona fans. Oh. One thing they can look forward to, though, is David Johnson, who got his record there, 14 games, first 14 games of the season, with 100 yards, at least 100 yards from scrimmage. Well done him, and he's aiming to match Barry Sanders' record of 15 within one season. So
yeah.
if you're
a shot to be maybe what, like, the third player ever to have 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving in the same year. I mean, he might be the best offensive player in all of football. So it's not like they don't have any players to build around. They just don't have a lot of players to build around.
No, that's true. He's obviously he's a fine player. And when you're breaking records that are owned by players like Barry Sanders, you know you're doing something right in this league.
Absolutely.
Okay, Philadelphia Eagles fall to 25, down one spot from last week. And, yeah, this two-point attempt business, Justin, it all looks very sexy when you go for 2 points and you and you lose the game, and but you've tried and it's courageous and all the rest of it. But let me just give you a few stats there on this two-point conversion. There's been 90, well, before tonight's game, 92 two-point conversions. Only 44 have been successful this season, so that's a 47% success rate. And if you were to go to overtime, 51% of the home teams win at overtime. So that's not a great stat. But 60% of the teams who win the coin toss win in overtime. So actually, if you go to overtime, you're statistically better chance of winning the game than you have going for a two-point conversion to win the game. So as much as of course, Philadelphia fans can appease themselves by saying, oh, it's a great, courageous, gutsy move, and we like that, still lost the game, and actually it was probably statistically anyway the wrong choice. I hated that call. You go there, you're playing against the Ravens, 60 minutes of hard football, and you throw it all away on a two-point conversion against one of the league's better defenses.
Yeah. My takeaway from that is apparently you have a 50-50 shot of having 60% chance to win the game. You go to overtime. I'm not sure what that means. And then I do like that you immediately chatted yourself for putting out a bad statistic. If only we could teach Podbader to do that, we would all be much better off. I did like the call, and I like the call because Philadelphia is not really in contention. Winning this game doesn't matter that much. I mean, yes, it. I mean, it do, you know, you want to win every game you can, but you know, right now Philadelphia is not going anywhere. Like, if this was an important game that mattered for something, I kind of agree, you know, crunch the numbers, see what, you know, based on trends, you know, how your offense is doing versus their defense and vice versa, right? That's a key decision. I mean, at this point for Philadelphia, 2016 is just an extended part of their 2017 preseason, and you never try to go to overtime in the preseason. So for that reason, I don't hate the call. I kind of give them a pass on it. I do think if it were a higher stakes game, you know, some more thought is reasonable there. But I'll also never, you know, a wise man once said you play to win the game, so I won't hold that against him.
Yeah, you're right enough. They're not going anywhere. But I imagine if it was a playoff game significant in terms of a playoff run, they probably would not have gone for the 2-point conversion there.
Agreed.
Anyway, Philadelphia. Who cares? Indianapolis at number 24. They're up one spot. Are they too low, Justin?
Oh boy, you were asking the wrong guy. You know how I feel about Indianapolis, specifically Andrew Luck.
Huge fan of Andrew Luck, I know.
Oh, the biggest, yeah. I think they've played pretty well. But I mean, they're in this territory though. Like, you know, but Houston's only a couple spots above them, and they've beaten them twice, haven't they? I mean, you got Denver on there, and like Denver might be too low, but. Like, I think Denver would stomp Indianapolis. San Diego and Indianapolis would be a real, real close game. But I give the quarterback advantage to San Diego here. Buffalo, I mean, maybe you could make the case to move them up one spot, but at this point, we're just splitting hairs. Indianapolis is, they're not a good team. I don't see any evidence that they're going to be good anytime soon. They are bottom feeders for sure.
They certainly are. But they still have a chance to make the playoffs in that horrible division. At number 23, we have the Buffalo Bills. And I watched the Buffalo team who were playing hard for Rex Ryan the weekend. Do they need to change the coach?
Yes. Yes, they do. I think that here's a team. I mean, give me the team that had, like, Jim Schwartz running the defense and then build a competent offense on that team. And maybe we can talk then. This, like... So defense at best with kind of a weird sort of up and down stagnant offense. That's not impressive. And here's another team that they've got great players. LeSean McCoy is a great football player. Sammy Watkins is an excellent wide receiver. They've got so many playmakers on that defense. This is a case where, like, I think if you look at a team and you look at their talent, you know, if the team outperforms their talent level, that's good coaching. If they underperform their talent level, that's bad coaching. And this is a team that is woefully underperforming their talent level.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Okay, so bye-bye, Rex. Enjoy Christmas. Number 22, the San Diego Chargers. We're into our pretender section now, Justin. Then San Diego, 16 players on IR. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. their all IR team would probably actually crack the top 15 in this power rankings. Their IR group is actually pretty solid. Now, I'm just gonna tell you right now, and the listeners can know too. We'll speed through this section a little bit, but beaten bad by the injury bug. I don't know what they could possibly have done differently this year.
Indeed, a fantastic subtle hint there, Justin, to say hurry up. I'm going fast as I can. Number 21, the Denver Broncos. They're down 7 spots, and I've given up on the Denver Broncos. I think they're done.
Yeah, man, you have given up on them so hard. You dropped them 7 spots. I think Denver would beat Houston. I think they're a better version of Houston. You know, good defense, lousy offense. Same goes for Minnesota. Same kind of goes for Carolina almost. And of course, New Orleans is the bizarro version where it's the good offense and the bad defense. But I kind of like Denver in all those contests. So I disagree with your ranking a little bit, but I get it because that offense is really, really pedestrian.
Terrible, yeah. And number 20, the Houston Texans. Oh dear, Justin, this is their first playoff team, and they come in at number 20. AFC is the fourth seeded team for the playoffs.
All right, all the listeners need to understand how this works. You put out a spreadsheet, and you rank all your teams, and there's a little note next to them, like, you know, next to San Francisco, it says Chip gone. LA says, what do they need? Next to Houston, it just says, oh dear. This is my favorite note from your entire list. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, here's a team that, I mean, they're going to represent their division in the playoffs. It probably won't go much better than it went for them last year when they made a token visit to the playoffs.
Yeah, this is horrible. It makes a huge case for putting the teams in based on record as opposed to division. But, that's a discussion for a different day. But let's leave poor Houston. And, well, Tom Savage is starting this week, so that'll be at least something of interest to watch in the game.
Yeah, we'll have plenty to say about their quarterback situation in the offseason, and I don't think it will be very kind toward Brock Osweiler.
Or the coach or the GM. Number 19, the Minnesota Vikings, down 2 spots, and that much-vaunted defense was crushed at the weekend.
Yeah, here's another situation, though, where I think given the fact that they have no shot at anything and how late it is in the year, I'm going to forgive them for not being absolutely terrific, and I think this defense could bounce back to be really good next year as well.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. They've got the basis of a team there, and yeah. However, Justin, no doubt we'll speak about this in the offseason. You've got to question that trade now, especially as their first-round pick.
Absolutely. I think we need to make a show where we just put Davey and the Texan superfan James in a cage in front of a microphone and just see what comes out.
It'll certainly have the explicit tag.
Oh, definitely.
Number 18, the Cincinnati Bengals. No change for Cincinnati. They lost a game they probably had a decent chance of winning against Pittsburgh at the weekend. But are these, yeah, a good, one of two teams I put here as having a good shout to be the bounce back team of 2017? Because they have a reasonably solid foundation there, quarterback sorted.
Yeah, so these are the sorts of teams where when you're projecting and predicting, where it gets really tough. Because this is either going to be the team, like you said, that bounces back in 2017. And then, you know, it goes on to be really good. Or, you know, on the flip side, this is the team where, you know, people are too slow to realize that what we saw this year is the true Cincinnati Bengals at this juncture. And then everybody expects them to be a top 10 team, and they crack that bottom feeder category with the dead enders for the rest of the year. I don't know where they're at yet, but I expect them to be really either a top 10 or a bottom 10 team next year.
Yep. Okay. Number 17, the New Orleans Saints, up 2 spots. And that offense is back on track. And, of course, Christmas is never Christmas without, Santa Claus, Coca-Cola, and, of course, a Sean Payton trade rumor.
Right. Yeah, you know that we're coming up on the end of the year because somebody's talking about trading Sean Payton for a first-round pick. We are bemoaning all the celebrities we've lost, and Drew Brees has passed for 5,000 yards again. The only thing that I'm going to say is, and this is really just to publicly chide Kevin, our Cowboys fan, who seems to think that Jason Garrett might be a better head coach than Sean Payton. Say what you will about Sean Payton. He's got at least one pelt on the wall, and he's done some terrific stuff. Jason Garrett is you could actually see these strings that go from him directly to Jerry Jones's office, where he controls him like a marionette.
Yeah, I can't go with Garrett over Sean Payton, but I'm not a fan of Sean Payton either. And this trading Sean Payton. When was the last time a coach was traded? That's a question.
Gruden was traded in the early 2000s. I'm not sure if we've had anybody since then. I know there was talk around Niners coach Harbaugh. There was some talk around Harbaugh. But that never came to fruition.
I mean, trading coaches are the so overrated coaches. Again, another off-season discussion. Carolina at number 16, and let's get this over and done with quickly, Justin. What a terrible, terrible performance. Oh, I could cry. Carolina beat Washington in the Monday night game 26-15. And oh boy, that could be Washington's playoffs over. But let's talk about Carolina. All season they've looked terrible on offense. Tonight they passed reasonably well, and Jonathan Stewart decided that he would have a big running game, and he was superb. Washington, dear me, where do you start? Too many turnovers. You can't run the ball. You can't stop the run. You've no business in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Washington was a team that so much of it really indicates that they were a playoff caliber team. I mean, I think that the defense is better than it was last year and is even improving. I think it could be a really good defense next year. The offense was putting up a lot of yards and a lot of points, but just like you say, especially when you get to this time of year, it's the teams that can run and that can stop the run that really seem to thrive. And those are two tremendous weaknesses of Washington. Jonathan Stewart, who is a really good player, just went absolutely nuts this year. And I think, you know, the last time I checked in with the game, because I didn't finish it, but Washington had something like 19 yards on 11 carries or just something tragic, something that was depressing to look at. You're not going to win a lot of games like that.
No, if you're relying on your quarterback to consistently put up 300 plus yards passing and carry the offense and well, carry the team, occasionally that's not going to work out. And when you start playing teams who are a little bit better than, yeah. Oh, so as it stands, Washington has to win their last two games and hope that Green Bay and Tampa Bay lose at least one game each for us to get to the playoffs. But let's move on from that because it's still painful, Justin. Number 15, the Tennessee Titans, a team who were going up the rankings last week, continue up the rankings. Back-to-back wins against Denver and Kansas City. That's pretty good if you're beating those two defenses.
Yeah, and just in the interest of time, I'm going to put on my producer hat and grab a little bit of control real quick. So Tennessee, Miami, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay, these are all teams that we thought were dead early in the year. And these look like these might be four of the toughest teams to play in all of the NFL right now. I mean, Tennessee, like, if you look at the power ranks over these last couple weeks, they've jumped up several spots. I mean, didn't we have them down at like 31 at one point, not that long ago? They're shooting up the rankings. Miami, who we were writing obituaries for not that long ago, are the sixth seed right now. Matt Moore, is playing really well. Green Bay, and, you know, as much as you clearly hate Aaron Rodgers, he's played great. You know, they've won, what, their last three or four games in a row. As far as I know, they didn't play any games last week. But other than that, they played tremendous. And, like, Tampa Bay, same thing. I mean, you know, it was they lost this week. But, I mean, they were not easy to put out. I don't think there's any team that puts away Tampa Bay very easily. These are all teams that are really on the rise.
Absolutely. So just to confirm then, we have Miami, Tennessee at 15, Miami at 14, Green Bay at 13, Baltimore at 12, Washington at 11, and Tampa Bay, our first contender team, at number 10. Just a quick word on Miami, Justin. Matt Moore. He did what often backup quarterbacks do. They come in their first game or two and they play really well. Four touchdowns, yeah. Good performance.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, where Matt Moore was the quarterback of the future in Miami. He had a really good year. He's done some really good things. And, you know, you see these veterans occasionally where they've done that, where, like, at one point they look like they could be the guy, then they fizzled out, and they took some years to kind of sit on the back burner. And then, but you look at kind of what, like, McCown did with the Bears a few years ago. He might be able to put some really good games together for a while, and that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. He certainly got a good team around him. I watched that game on it was Saturday night, wasn't it? I tell you that. I always call him Donkey Kong Sue, but he was he was good. What a player he still is.
Yeah, people I think forget about him because he's on a team that's not as exciting, and he is not kicking people in the groin between plays as much anymore. but he is still a tremendous football player.
Yeah, I miss that. I like players with character.
That's one thing to call it.
And just a quick mention also for number 12, Baltimore, who go into week 16 at the Steelers in what is quite likely to be the deciding game in that division in the AFC South. North.
Yeah, I think no matter how the next week goes, like the winner of that game wins the division. So no pressure, guys.
Yeah. So we are into the contenders now. We talk about Tampa Bay there. Their final two games are at the Saints and against the Panthers. Two winnable games for them. Hopefully they lose one of them. Number 9, the Detroit Lions, down 3 spots after their, really disappointing loss against the Giants, where they could only put up 6 or 7 points in the game. And they finish off at the Cowboys and at home to the Packers. And all of a sudden, Detroit looking a little bit shaky in number 1 spot in their division.
Yeah, I was happy about that because their loss put Seattle back into the number 2 seed. So I felt really good about that. I mean, but, you know, Detroit went against a very, very good football team. And they lost, but, I mean, it was like one big play. It was most of the score differential in that game. Yeah. I think this was a case where both these actually stepped up really big, and it was a slugfest. I mean, that game looked like a playoff game, and that very well could be a playoff game here soon. So, I don't feel much worse about Detroit than I did last week.
Yeah, no, excellent point about it being a playoff game, yeah. Number 8, the Pittsburgh Steelers, up 1 spot. 5 wins in a row for the Steelers now, and as we just mentioned, they've got this big game at Baltimore this week.
Yep, that's the game that's for all the marbles. That is the game to watch this week. I don't care what team you follow. That's the game to watch this week. And this is the classic Pittsburgh, right? You know, they go on these runs. They'll beat good teams, teams that we have ranked pretty highly. But then they'll lose to teams that we don't think are very good. And, you know, this will get hopefully talked about on the prediction show, but they've still lost, like, 7 of the last 8 to Baltimore and like 4 in a row now. Please don't let that be lost on people when they predict what's going to happen in this game.
Mm. Yeah, good point. And talking about teams who can play superbly well and all of a sudden just lose an absolute stinker, we have at number 7 the Seattle Seahawks, your Seahawks, Justin. And I have to say, people ridiculed your color rush costume outfit, whatever it was, pantomime costume, but it was, I liked it.
Yeah, I saw some fans that had bought some, so I saw them in person. Once the retina pain fades, it's actually not bad. I do like they look like the contents of a bottle of Mountain Dew. The Seahawks are so tough to read right now. You know, they got blown out by the Packers, they got crushed by the Buccaneers, but they absolutely slaughtered the Rams, who yes are ranked low, but have been kind of there. Sort of arch nemesis these last couple of years. They held them to only 3 points, which, you know, on the one hand, you know, they're probably going to have the best scoring defense in the league for the 5th year in a row, which is incredible. But I'm still not convinced their defense is great without Earl Thomas. I don't have a good read on them right now. Get back to me in a week or two. I could probably tell you next week if I think they're going to win the Super Bowl or not. But this is just not a good week to make a prediction for who this team is at the moment. I will say, okay, so this I did not talk about this before, and I don't want to turn this into the Seahawks podcast. Actually, I do, but I won't. Don't let it be lost on people that when the game started, the starting offense at wideout, they had Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, not Jermaine Kearse. I think a lot of people who follow the team have seen this coming. Jermaine Kearse has kind of struggled this year. Tyler Lockett, other than like some injuries earlier, hasn't. And he has officially taken over that starting wide receiver position, which I think we all expected. And a lot of people who follow the team think Tyler Lockett is going to be an absolute star. And this was a big step for him. He got the start, and then he went for 120 yards and a touchdown. That's not a coincidence. Keep an eye on Tyler Lockett.
Okay, will do. Number six, the New York Giants. Best defense in the league, Justin?
Hard to say. Get back to me after the Seahawks play next week. with Earl Thomas on the Seahawks, no. It's not a contest. But they're playing really good right now. That defensive line, and I was not a fan of the Olivier Vernon move earlier in the year, and for the most part I was right. Starting to look pretty good right now. And this is a team that, it doesn't matter who the head coach is, I guess. They just build themselves around that defensive line. They're playing well. Their corners are playing well. That's another area where they spent some money. It is funny. Normally we talk about how the teams that, quote, win free agency typically lose games. Well, this is a team that we talked about winning free agency this year on the defense side of the ball. And they're also winning football games. Good work there in New York. Our New York Giants superfan, I think, put it best, which is, this New York Giants team is either going to get blown out in the first round of playoffs or they're going to win the Super Bowl. And there is no in between.
That's usually how it goes with the Giants. They lost Janoris Jenkins, didn't they, to injury at the weekend? I think it was a back injury. We'll see if he's going to miss games or not. JPP is out as well, so they're still doing this without JPP. So good going for the Giants there. Number five, the Kansas City Chiefs. And they finished their season with the Broncos and the Chargers, so a couple of division games. And they might need to win both of those games to clinch that division.
Man, you want to talk about disappointing losses. I'll put this right up there with your Washington team. I mean, here's a team that really had an opportunity at the one seed. Now they're looking at the five seed. And they lost to a team that I didn't think they had any business losing to. I still think this is they're in the contention for the best team in the NFL. I don't think that has changed. This was an ugly week for them and an ugly loss. This week is the biggest red flag I've seen for that team.
Yeah, it was a worry. They also lost, didn't they? They also lost a couple of weeks ago to Tennessee at home, which was also a bit of a worry. Yeah, a bit inconsistent there, I'm not sure we can trust the Chiefs yet. And number four, the Atlanta Falcons, and I've just put there, Justin, NFC favorites.
No, but a real NFC contender. That offense hasn't gone away. It's funny, they had so many wins to start the year, so everybody was kind of jumping on their bandwagon. Then they had one or two losses in the middle, and everybody's oh, same old Falcons. They're still 9-5. They're still going to win 10, 11 games this year, and they still put up 41 more points this week. They can beat any team in the NFL, which is reflected in your power rankings. So good job, you.
Oh, thanks for that. 1 out of 32 being right, not too bad. Number three, the Oakland Raiders. They sneaked another win against those really unlucky Chargers. They're the second seed in the AFC, and boy, could they do with getting that number one seed.
Yeah, if you're Oakland, I think what you look at that early season loss to the Saints right now, which was week one or two.
Yeah.
And man, that early mistake is costing you dearly at this point, because without that. You are legitimately looking at a number one seed, and having the road to the Super Bowl go through that dumpster of a stadium that they have.
Yeah, well, I just don't see them going to New England and winning. I just don't see it. Number two, the Dallas Cowboys, and are they back on track? Their two rookies had solid games against. They have a very good opponent in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So no Romo chat for another week at least.
I think a solid game is underrating it. I mean, Dak Prescott was something 32 of 36. Yeah, they're, easy, a high percentage like passing plays, but like your scripted percentage is not as high as that percentage, which is almost 90%. Dak Prescott went for like 160 yards on not that many carries. So that offense is it does seem to be back on track. I mean, Dak Prescott hadn't thrown for even 200 yards in almost a month. So getting him going against a good defense is, I think, is exactly what they needed. They were in a funk, and it's better to get in that funk and get yourself out of it now rather than in a couple of weeks when the playoffs are starting.
And a nice touch there from Zeke Elliott, who, like you say, had a good game running, but he also had the play of the night when he jumped into the Salvation Army pot there and no doubt melted Twitter after that. And I see the league has agreed that they're not going to fine him for that, even though the rules state he should have been fined. They're not going to fine him, and he's going to make a contribution to the Salvation Army. So Christmas time, everyone's a winner.
Yep, all great stories and all reasons why it is, in fact, okay to root for that rookie.
Indeed. And number one, the New England Patriots, big win against their nemesis, if you like, in the Denver Broncos, and they're rolling, and it looks very ominous. If they get the number one seed, get the bye, get the home field advantage, I can't see them not being in the Super Bowl, can you?
I mean, yeah. So this New England team is not as good as the New England teams we've seen over the last several years. They're vulnerable. And I mean, this was a big win, though. I mean, Tom Brady was something like 2-5 against Denver in his career. Tom Brady, right? And so getting this win is huge. At the same time, though, I don't agree with like what you said and what a lot of people are saying about them being on a roll and all those things. I mean, they scored 16 points. That's it. I mean, that's not that impressive.
It's more than the other team.
Well, I mean that's the key. But isn't that just it though? Like, you know, they're beating a Broncos team right now that is terrible on offense. That's just terrible. Like, how many spots did you drop? You dropped them down to 21. Like, this is a terrible offense, and that's why they won. I don't think New England won this game because they're great. They won this game because the Broncos can't score. They still only scored 16 points. If the New England Patriots put up 16 points against Dallas in the Super Bowl, or against Oakland or Kansas City or Pittsburgh, yeah, I'm sorry. If New England puts up 16 points against Pittsburgh, they've lost.
Yeah, possibly. You also imagine if New England come up against a team like Atlanta in the Super Bowl, who can score any time they want and very quickly. How are they going to be coming from behind?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, they were able to sort of dictate this game by having a really good rushing attack, which they've had for a lot of the year, and then having Tom Brady make some great throws. If you can't dictate the pace of the game, that really, really screws up their entire approach to offensively.
Indeed. Okay, Justin, that's our top 32. New England can celebrate Christmas and head towards the new year still at number one. And right, we've got that done. Justin, we've got an extra point now. And I've been waiting to do this. This is great. We asked all the superfans to sort of put forward players with a Christmas theme in their name. So, for example, you'd have somebody like that old defensive tackle, Russell Maryland. And I've got 12 others, Justin. I'm going to run through them. It may inspire you to find one of your own, but there is a Seattle guy in here for you. So here we go. This is the NFL Christmas-themed players and coaches. So we first of all, we'll start with a quarterback, and we've got Bart Northstar. Then we have a Johnny Jolly Christmas. Dak the Halls with Rawls of Holly. There we go. That's Dak Prescott and your guy, Thomas Rawls. Then we have, what do we have? Deck the D'Angelo Halls with Holly. That's quite good. I like that. And then Texans James, he said, how about Oh Come Emmanuel Sanders. Carol, Mary and Joseph. That's the Raiders safety, Carol Joseph. And then, of course, the great quarterback from the Carolina Panthers, Jimmy Santa Clausen.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one. Come on. It's my favorite one.
Oh, man.
Then we've got the safety. It's a Saints safety, isn't it? Vaughn Jingle Bell. And then the cornerback for Detroit, Darius Slay. Wrong spelling, but same pronunciation. And then, the Minnesota tight end, a bit obvious one. Kyle Rudolph, the red-nosed tight end.
I was really hoping you were not going to miss that one.
Then we have, of course, after this week's cold weather, we have Frosty the Snowman Rucker. And finally, your head coach, of course, the one and only Pete Christmas Carroll.
That last one was pretty good work.
There we go.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to be legitimately upset with you if you missed Kyle Rudolph. Because he is tailor-made with that. You could also have gone with Dreaming of a James White Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. God, this is either the best or the worst thing that we have ever done. I am starting to think it might be a little bit of both.
Oh, I think it's the best thing we've ever done. Anyway, listeners, if you can think of any more NFL players with Christmas themes in their names, that would be fantastic. You can email the show, you can tweet us, and we'll certainly retweet all of those. Because if you can beat Pete Christmas Carol or Jimmy Santa Clausen, then you're better than we are. So that's our show for this week. Justin, you have anything else you want to add?
Just the usual stuff. Grab those suggestions, put them through a safe for work filter so that they are appropriate, and email them to us at nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also tweet them at us. That's at NFU Podcast. So, you know, if on the way home you suddenly think, oh my God, we Gronk you a Merry Christmas, yeah, you can hit us up that way. You can also check out our website. I don't know if this list is going to make the website or not. We'll have to talk to the powers that be about that. That's nextfanup.wordpress.com. I don't know. What else do you got, Neil?
Oh, that's it for me. I'm just trying to think. I know you said try and keep them as clean as you can, these names, but I'll take as many rude ones as you've got, Justin. The ruder, the better, in fact. But with that, listener, we'll see you next week. Have a fantastic Christmas day, and I hope you get snow. I hope you get all the presents that you want coming down the chimney, and we will see you next week.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.